Have you ever heard people say to you, oh, just have an attitude of gratitude. Be grateful for what you have. You're so fortunate and blessed. Meanwhile, you're in a heap full of pain. Your life isn't going the way you want it to go, and you're struggling. And the last thing you want to do is just practice an attitude of gratitude. I can completely resonate with this, as I have felt that way myself. My guest this week, Jennifer Altieri, and I talk about a different way of looking at gratitude. Jennifer is a transformation coach, and she helps women to use gratitude. She teaches and talks about how to train your brain to find even the smallest bits of gratitude in your life. If you are wanting to really transform and heal and grow from any type of pain that you have or struggle that you have, particularly people-pleasing or perfectionism, then tune in to this episode to hear what Jennifer shares with us as to how you can start to manifest and create the life that you really want and desire. Welcome to the Masks Off for People Pleasers and Perfectionists podcast. I am Kim Gross, your host, and it is my mission to help you unmask from people pleasing and perfectionistic behaviors so that you can finally have the confidence to live the life that you truly desire. Let's tune in to this week's episode. My guest is Jennifer Altieri, and we are going to have a conversation today about gratitude and what you may have been told in the past, but it's going to be a slightly different version of gratitude, a little different twist or take on it, if you will. But I'm going to start with a quote, as I normally do. And this quote is by Abraham Hicks. Everything is always working out for you, no matter how it looks at any moment. Oh my goodness, if only I could keep that in the forefront of my mind when I'm freaking a hot mess and struggling and just... This is for you, Kim. This is for you. So anyway, welcome to the show, Jennifer. Tell us a little bit about who you are.
Hello, everyone. I am so grateful to be here. Thank you, Kim, for allowing me to contribute in this way. I am coming to you from my little farm in South Florida. My husband and I live here with we are not empty nesters, even though I have two kids in their 20s. My daughter lives around the corner. My son lives in New Zealand. And on our farm, though, we have 23 animals that we care for 24/7. So I have a little resistance when somebody says empty nest to me. I'm like, yeah, no, not even close. I am so grateful that I have built a life around kindness with the shared rescue animals that we do therapy with, and gratitude, which is my life coaching, is transformation through gratitude. And it was built on choices that when I started life, it looked totally different. And I started with, I would say, close to probably zero self-confidence. Mm-hmm. I love that you work with people pleasers and perfectionists, because there's probably nobody out there that doesn't fall into that niche, at least at some point in our lives. Mm. And to have support, like I started life, and the reason why I still have this connection to animals is, as a child without confidence, I did very well with animals. I could speak with them and bond with them and understand them. And that unconditional love that you get to give and take, it just heals so many things in so many ways. It's like magic, right? I've always resonated with animals. But we live in a people world, so we can't just stay focused there. And growing up, again, just with very little self-esteem and confidence, I went through life making pretty poor decisions. I usually say I waffle between being a doormat or being a people pleaser. That obviously leads to not the best decisions. And it doesn't mean that I wasn't a good person or that I was a bad person. I just kept coming from this place of low self-confidence and trying to cover that, right? Trying to hide that, trying to operate in the world with that mask on, that I've got everything together. In a lot of ways, I looked like I had everything together, especially as I got older and accomplished the things that you're supposed to accomplish in life. And still underneath, I had that driving me. And I also had the part of the perfectionist. Like, I didn't identify with being a perfectionist because I wasn't straight A's by any means. I half-assed a lot of stuff. I just wasn't the type that would you typically identify as, oh, that's, she's a perfectionist if it's not right, because what I let it do was I let it freeze me. So I would rather do nothing than make a mistake so that people didn't see how unworthy I was, how unsatisfactory I was. So I was so afraid to do anything or say anything. I also didn't realize that it was a perfectionist trait to rethink everything that you said during the day and everything that you did during the day and criticize yourself. Like I had, that was my tape playing in my brain every night when I laid down. And after I had kids, all that guilt of all the ways I was a terrible parent and all of that just kept playing in my head. I had no idea that was connected to perfectionism because I'll half-ass this, I'll half-ass that, like better done than perfect, just do it. But so many ways it was showing up. There's just so many layers of perfectionist that unless you get to work with somebody like you that understands it, we're stuck for so long. I stress myself out so badly, so consistently that I develop migraines chronically, like really bad migraines. At one point I ended up in a public bathroom, just throwing up from the migraines. And I was so exhausted that finally the pain started to subside. I fell asleep on the toilet bowl rim. That's below. Somebody found me, thought I was passed out, threw water on me, realized I was not passed out. I was just resting from being ill, and then scooped me up and took me to the emergency room. You'd think that's a light bulb moment. Nope, not for me. I just got some medicine, got a neurologist on board, and went right back to work immediately the next day. Why? Because if I didn't, then my partner would suffer. And we both had migraines, so we would have to keep ping-ponging back and forth and filling in for each other. So I felt better because I was all loaded with meds from the IV in the hospital, so I went right back to work. So people-pleasing, not realizing that's was going on, not putting myself first at all. So I just kept continuing that way. I did eventually bump into a life coach for a different reason, and I still thought, wow, that's really great that she does that. I'm glad that there's people out there in the world helping. I don't need that. I think that's the biggest thing. Like, where so many people are waiting for that light bulb. Oh, this happened, so now I'll get help. No, most of us need a little assistance along the way. Most of us come into this world with some crap that we need to leave behind. Let somebody help you put it down. Life can be so much better. Now, after a life coach totally changed my life, I love to learn. I love to teach. So this just opened up a whole new world for me. I learned as much as I could. I got all the certifications, all that kind of stuff. Experimented. I think life is an experiment anyway. So I experimented with all the things, took the stuff that I knew that worked. And then now I teach it. I do have a lot of certifications and I don't go, like, they're probably somewhere on my website. Probably. I don't know. I think what's most important is the experience. Been there, done that, have the results. And I love to show other people how to do that.
And that I have to say, I totally agree with you because as you're sharing your entire story, I'm like, yep, yes, yes. Resonate, check, check. And that is what I think people want when they are seeking out someone to help them or guide them or support them, is someone who can understand what they're going through, who has been there, who's been in the mess and is using their mess as their message, as I say often. So I agree with you on that. And what I want to really underscore and highlight is when you talked about being able to connect with animals, I really resonated with that because for me, I had that deep connection to nature, whether I was in the leaves or in the snow or in the lake or the sun, like I could feel so one with all of that. I was present like none other, and I felt my essence, my divinity, my whatever word you want to use, people use different words. And I was so connected to that up until around the age of 10. And then things started to change and shift in my life where I felt that I had to please, I had to perform, I had to perfect in order to be seen, in order to be acknowledged, and to receive that external validation to feel worthy. So when you talked about and mentioned that, oh, I didn't identify with being a perfectionist. And a lot of people will say that they're not for the very reason you did. Oh, I didn't get straight A's. I didn't have to have like my house just so or whatever. But there are such nuances to how the perfectionist and the people pleaser show up. And that's why I feel passionate about wanting to spread and share this message around masks, particularly to teenagers and young adults, when they're still young enough to be able to say, oh, okay, yeah, I do perfect here. Or yes, performing is happening here. And yeah, I do feel like I have to please my mom or dad and I need their approval. And if I don't have their approval, then I feel like shit about myself and I feel unworthy. At least start having the conversations with them so that they can be aware when the masks are coming on and when they're leaning or living from a mask rather than their true self. So a lot of the work that you do is using gratitude. Let's talk about this first. Let's start here because I did share with you before we started recording and I really do want to touch upon this particular question. I resisted this saying for so much of my life and I still do at times when people say that just have an attitude of gratitude and life will be like all rainbows and unicorns and a bowl of cherries. Like bullshit on that. Like I tried to fake it. I tried to make myself be grateful, but I was in a freaking mound of pain. And no matter how much faking and telling myself I'm grateful wasn't healing the pain. If anything, I was only solidifying what had happened to me as a child, which was discounting my experience. And so I feel like that whole like, oh, just fake it till you make it, have an attitude of gratitude. Maybe it does work for some people, but I think there's a nuance to it. So I wonder if you want to share some thoughts on that.
Oh, I would love to. That is one of my buttons too, because it's just where I see so many people go wrong. And then they think, oh, this gratitude stuff doesn't work. I understand why it's not working, because an attitude of gratitude, the mistake that gets made is they think that's it. That's it in a bow. I have an attitude of gratitude and it should work. No, an attitude of gratitude is your jumping off place. It's such a great place. If you were down in hopelessness, despair, anger, and you can reach a brief attitude of gratitude, I celebrate that. I totally celebrate that. I don't want to take the whole thing and really throw it all out, because there can be times, of course, nothing is always or never. There can be times when that might be great for somebody. And then my invitation is, now we need to live it. That's where we jump off from. And now we make gratitude a lifestyle. Because like with anything, if you brushed your teeth once, you would say, oh, this didn't work. All my teeth rotted out. Like it's this, there's no difference in the gratitude practice as there are in any kind of physical health care. And, you know, it's in the practice that's so important. And to your point of wanting to validate all of the feelings, that's the other thing I think people try to do with that is they try to slap that happy sticker over everything that's going on with their lives because they're supposed to be grateful, or being grateful is supposed to make it all go away. And ironically, in gratitude gatherings, I encourage all of the ladies, always we show up with whatever. Obviously, I want everybody to have a great life and easy breezy as much as possible. And when they show up and they're got some kind of shit going on, I so celebrate that. I'm like, yes, because you are here. This is a safe spot. You do not have to put on a mask. This is what's going on. We're going to hold space for you and witness that and validate those feelings. And we can hold the space for you to find gratitude while you get to process your stuff. Because doing it alone, that's where we stay stuck. That's where we're not really alone because we have all those thoughts in our head.
Yes.
So somebody's talking to us. It's just not our cheerleader. It's, you know, our critic and the perfectionist and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I love what you're saying. And it also ties back into the quote, right? So you can even stretch the energy, the meaning of gratitude to maybe just welcome. If a person's really struggling with the word gratitude, like how can I be grateful for the fact that my husband's a freaking alcoholic and he comes home drunk and we can bear it? How am I supposed to be grateful for that, Kim and Jennifer, someone might say. And that might be a hard stretch to be grateful for that. But going back to the quote, and I'll read it again. Everything is always working out for you, no matter how it looks in any moment. So if you're a mom saying, my 24-year-old son is an addict, how am I supposed to be grateful for that? Okay, I can understand like the languaging of that, but can you step into the energy or the space of seeing how this is here for your growth, for your son's growth, for how it is here to help us grow? And then can you maybe be grateful for the fact that it's helping you to grow? Do you have any other thoughts to add on to that?
Yeah, I have two separate ways. First, I want to answer that on why this quote is so important to me and how I've changed it a little bit to internalize it. When we need that faith, because it looks like something is blowing up right in front of us and we can't control it, this is where I apply that. I would tell myself, everything is working out for me, even though I can't see it. Everything is working out for my highest and best good, even though I can't see it. Everything is working out for my high. And I had such faith in that. So that is where it is helpful. I don't care what you have faith in. Universe, God, angels, fairies, nature, I don't care what it is. There's something higher than humans going on here, right? So whatever that is for you, that's where we tap into the faith that something, this is happening for my highest and best good. So that, as a worrier, that has gotten me through so many of the things. Because if we could just do 24 hours, sometimes we just have to get through the night without our head playing all of the stuff that we're worried about so that we could just go to sleep and wake up the next day. How many times we go to sleep and wake up the next day and it really wasn't that bad? Where it didn't, whatever you said to that person did not end up being the worst thing in the world. They didn't even notice that you said it, or whatever you thought was going wrong. Actually, it really wasn't. It was just our perception of it. So many times that just buys us the time to align with what we know is the higher truth, that everything is working out. Just trust that there is a plan. We have to have trust in something, and that's going to be unique. And when it comes to people dealing with large life issues, I Don't immediately try to take them to the place of being grateful for, because this lesson is going to come or this growth is going to come. A lot of times that's too big of a step. So what I would do instead, unless they're like program, like if this is consistent and you're doing this, then you can see beyond that. But the first step would be, okay, yeah, that sucks. All right. And let's definitely acknowledge that, because it sucks. I don't want you to go through that. I don't want your child to go through that. I don't want any of that kind of stuff. I want all of the best things. Now, let's take our attention off of that and look for other things. So it doesn't have to be that specific thing. We just need to find something, whether it's, I used to use the blue sky a lot. Like when my demons would come, I knew that tape was going to start to play. And living here in South Florida, I was in my car a lot. Just look out. I would look up at the sky. And right now where my office, where this desk is, I just look at the sky. I'm like, the sky is such a beautiful color blue. I am so grateful that I live here. I am so grateful that is the sky. Like, it can be anything. You're a nature person. So you would get, sometimes I go to, the grass is such a beautiful green. Like all of the things in nature, like you said, I love my tree. It does, absolutely does not have to be. And most of the time it is way more beneficial for it not to be specifically that problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
and that's kind of, go ahead.
I was going to say, I totally agree. And a lot of times that we can't be grateful for the problem or the thing until it's hindsight, right? Hindsight is 20/20. So it's not until we have moved past maybe that particular problem or things have, like, I'm trying to think of an example where maybe, oh, perfect example. My daughter, right? In the fall, she was in her last semester of college and she was playing tennis and she had to take this science class, like a chemistry class. And she missed a lot of that class because she was playing tennis. So she quickly fell behind and she quickly was failing. And I went into this like catastrophizing, this futurizing, what ifing, all or nothing type of place. And I could not in the moment when I was in it, nor could she be grateful for anything, for the lesson that it was going to teach us, because we were in it. It wasn't until we were past the semester and then she saw that she actually, whatever, the details don't matter, but turned it around and ended up actually getting a B and how she did it and saw all the lessons that were in it. So a lot of times that's when we can step in and be grateful for the thing, whatever the thing is. But I do hear what you're saying when you're in the throes of a problem, an issue, a pain, it's very hard to be grateful. I, for years, went to Al-Anon meetings and so many people would say, it depended on where they were. If they were in the beginning of recovery, they could not be grateful for the alcoholic in their lives. But if you heard someone with 10, 15 years of recovery and they were in a good place, they could say, I'm grateful for the alcoholic in my life and what the alcoholic taught me or what this whole situation taught me. So it depends on where you are in the situation. That was a long caveat to clarifying that, because that is a big thing, a big complaint that a listener might have. Yeah, Kim, freaking, I can't be grateful for blah, blah, blah. And what you're adding in is, okay, I hear that. You can't be grateful for that, but what can you be grateful? And what Dr. Joe talks about so much, Joe Dispenza, is energy flows where your attention goes. So if your attention is constantly on the problem, if your attention is constantly on having chronic pain or an addiction or worry about your teenage or your young adult, that's where all your energy is going to be.
Yeah.
Exactly. That was a hard lesson for me, to tell you the truth.
It is a hard lesson. That's, you're exactly spot on. Right. Because we get more of what we focus on. whether you believe that in a spiritual way, whether you believe that in a scientific way, our brain searches for what we put our attention on. It searches for that. So yes, if we can find anything, and it might just be one thing at the moment, like one lousy thing that might seem so insignificant to somebody else, focus. That's where it's the magic of gratitude and the work of gratitude. It does take work because it can be easier. That's where the choice is, right? Do I want to stay here and be like, fuck it, that doesn't work anyway. This is shit. Don't tell me it's not.
Yeah.
Or am I going to just be willing to experiment, just be willing to say, I am grateful that I have a cup of coffee. There's something. And we know when we're in a better place, we know that just waking up is a gift. Mm. Breath is a gift. I can see you. My sight is a gift. Like we literally, any human can, at any moment can rattle off lots of things when we're in a good headspace of things that we can be grateful for. But when we're not in that headspace, it's much more difficult. It is a choice and it is work. And meeting people where they're at, not making them wrong for where they're at. If they can't see that yet, if they can't see any of that, well, they might just need somebody to help them clean their glasses so that they can see a spot through. Like, again, that's where, you know, if they are ready and willing, just a little bit, have to crack the door open with a little bit of
yeah. Hope. I'm so glad that you brought up that point because I'm going to be honest. Masks off, take off my freaking mask. I've been on a path of inner work and healing for 25 years. And I was probably first introduced to Dr. Joe 5 years ago. And he was saying the same thing. Actually, there's even more teachers than Dr. Joe. There have been several in my journey that have talked about what you just mentioned. And I read all the books. I went to all the online courses. I did all the things to try to change my mindset, to change the way that I saw things. And I could not access it on a deep cellular level. I knew it in my head. I knew it in my mind. I heard the words. You have a choice what you choose to think about. Your thoughts affect your feelings, which affect your behaviors. I studied under Marissa Peer for hypnotherapy. I learned all the shit, but I still couldn't embody it until I was ready to embody it. And once I was ready, then it was like, holy shit, the floodgates opened. My glasses were finally clear and clean. I was like, oh, I get it. And then I was able to, just recently I had COVID and I was listening to all of Dr. Joe's Rewired and I was in bed. I had nothing else to do. So I watched like 11 episodes on Prime, right? And I was taking the antiviral for COVID. And at this, I don't know if it was the all right, I'm going to say it was not a coincidence. It was the antiviral plus Dr. Joe. And it was really my thoughts that I kept saying, I am so freaking grateful for this antiviral right now. I am so grateful. And I'm so grateful that I can listen to his videos. And as I kept doing that, I kept feeling my energy expand, my heart opening. I started to be like, I feel good. Then I'm like questioning, holy shit, am I really better after 2 days? In the first 2 days, I was really sick. I'm like, I think I'm really feeling better. This COVID went away like in 2 days. And the whole time that I was taking the medicine, I just kept being really grateful. I'm grateful for my health. I'm grateful for, like you said, looking out my window and seeing the blue sky. And the more that I started to feel that, the more that energy flowed because that's where my attention was going.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Our energy, the vibration of it, everything vibrates, right? Again, science tells us that everything vibrates. And the cells of our body are vibrating. Disease vibrates at a certain rate. Health vibrates at a higher rate. So yeah, and that's not to say that grateful people are never going to get sick.
100%. Of course,
like, we're all humans. We all have a balance. And the difference is to be able to go to gratitude when we are there, and not perfectionist, beat ourselves up for being like, oh, what did I do to bring this on? You see a lot of that in like spirituality, that really is, you choose your thoughts, create your reality. And yes, that is true. And let's take a breath. We are humans having a human experience, and having a negative thought here or there is not going to open the floodgates for, oh, now you deserve this. So
yes. Thank you for underscoring that, because that's so important. That is exactly how I used to feel when I first started hearing all the teachings, is like, oh, I can't fucking do this. It was so hard. I would go to the place of what is wrong with me, because I would try to choose positive thoughts. I would try to do all the things, and I still ended up feeling chronic pain, or I would still get caught in a loop of obsessive worrying or people pleasing or perfecting, whatever it was that I was trying to change. If I couldn't mindset my way out of it, think my way out of it, I would blame myself. So I really appreciate you saying that for the listeners as well, that it's not this all or nothing perfect thing. Even probably for Dr. Joe, I'm sure he has times when he has moments. The difference is that he has this awareness of knowing, and now I have the awareness of knowing how I can start to pull myself out of it. It doesn't mean that I stay on the mountaintop 24/7. We are not going to be on the mountaintops 24/7. We will go into the valleys, because that's life. The ebb and flow of life is that. But the difference is, now when I go into a valley, I have this backpack on with all these tools. And so I know how, and gratitude being one, I know how to use that and start to climb the mountain, maybe with a little bit more ease and grace than I used to. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. And maybe if I can ask you, is the valley not as deep?
Oh, definitely not as deep at all.
That's the thing, right? If it's an ocean, there's probably always going to be waves, but it doesn't mean that they're going to be the stir out of the water type of waves, you know, right?
It's just,
that is the nature of life. And that's because of that, I have an affirmation for myself that says, I learn my lessons quickly and with love. Mm. As I started out, I wore the identity of being a slow learner, made the same mistakes over and over and over and over, and used to say, yeah, I'm a slow learner. And that was my label. I'm a slow learner. So that gave me permission to keep making the same mistakes over and over again and not make changes. Truth is, I just didn't know how to do something differently. That's it. And I didn't have the confidence to stand up and say, whoa, okay, I am bruised from head to toe. I am done going around on this one. I was just, nope. Okay. Well, this is life. I'm a slow learner. This is how it goes. Yeah. I love that. Quickly. Love.
You have shared so many amazing points about gratitude and how to weave it into our lives for a better, healthier, happier, better life. Do you have anything else that you want to add about the gratitude that we have not hit upon so far?
I think that maybe one of the only things that we didn't touch on yet is being grateful in advance, which I do think that is another one of the keys. I don't like to use the word secret. I don't think any of this stuff should be secretive at all, but one of the keys that a lot of people miss is, especially working on using gratitude as a manifestation tool. You can, if you're not grateful in advance, it's going to fail there, or it's going to take you much, much longer. Because that's another thing that we do, is we're grateful for today and we use it to help manifest by being grateful for what is coming, being grateful for it as if it is already here. just be so grateful for it in advance. And I guess another thing that is really important that I'd like to put in is filling the space that you have with gratitude. That is how you get to the next level. The bigger things you want, your bigger goals and dreams, is you have to fill the space that you're in completely with gratitude. And then we rise up. That fills, we go up. And then
can you illustrate an example of what you mean by that?
Yes. For example, I was looking for a new home and was never really thrilled with the house. When we moved to Florida, I bought specifically for location. We moved right across the street from friends of ours. So that's why I wanted to be there. And then the kids got a little older, they changed schools, and now I'm driving hours a day to back and forth from school and all that kind of stuff. Enough. We want a new to live closer to the school. We weren't finding anything, nothing. And I never really loved that house. It was location. It was okay. I did not like it, but it wasn't me. It was a nice house. It wasn't me. And I know the way the laws of the universe work. So I started to walk around and really pick out the things that I could be really grateful for in that house. A kitchen had windows like I have never seen still in any house that I've been in. And the way the light came in, and there were different things that I really liked so much. I got to the point that I was starting to second guess, do I really want to move? Like, this house is really nice. I really like this, but do I really want to go? That's when we found the house. But until I was super grateful for what I had, the universe is like, why am I going to give you more? You're not grateful for what you have. So I had to reach that authentically. Can't fake it, right? There is no mask when it comes to the universe. We can do that with a lot of people we can get by with, but not when it comes to the universe and our vibration. So you cannot fake it. You have to find a way to authentically fill that space. And whatever that is, like when clients are coming to me and they're wondering, do I leave my husband? Do I leave my job? Do I move? Do not make that decision until you can fill that space with gratitude. Because if you do leave, if you leave your husband, you leave your job for all this list of problems, you are going to find that list of problems in the next partner or the next job. We have to find a way that leaving is a positive experience. It might still hurt a little. I'm not saying it's not going to be a little rough or hurt, but that you know in your heart, you're grateful for the experience that you had. You've sucked all the gratitude out of it that you possibly can. And your next step is naturally to move on. So
I love that. That was awesome. So incredible. So many tools in this episode. I feel like this is going to be very valuable to so many people. So if someone wanted to find you, where would they find you?
I am on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok under Hope in Our Heart. The website is hopeinourheart.com, which is hopeinourheart.com. So yeah, but I am all over social. So reach out if you want to. I'd be happy to say hi, follow along, see if there's anything that I put out there that helps you. That would be awesome.
Do you share on your website what you do with the horses? Are there like pictures or horses, animals that you have?
Thank you for bringing that up. So Hope in Our Heart is how I earn my income. Kindness Shared is the charity that I run for children and animals, which is 100% volunteer based. I don't take any income out of that. So that's a separate website. And that is kindnessshared.com. So if you are interested in kids, animals at all, so our rescue animals serve as therapy animals for kids with special needs. We have actually 12 programs that we run. Some involve animals, some don't, but check us out. Again, we're also on all of the socials under Kindness Shared. Yeah. So if you have a heart for animals or children.
So thank you everybody for tuning in to another episode of Masks Off for People Pleasers and Perfectionists. I hope that what you heard in this episode today will serve you in some way, shape, or form. If you enjoyed what Jennifer and I talked about, I would love for you to leave a review and a like or subscribe. And I will see you next week.